Is it time to up your social media game? Then you need to talk to Kate and Ave Communications, a social media agency located right here in Edmonton, specializing in all things social media, from quality storytelling, content creation, and strategic social media management. So stop doing social media off the side of your desk. Contact Kate and Ave at kateandave.com and give them a follow on Instagram at kateandavecomms, C-O-M-M-S, for great social media content, tips, and tricks.
Everybody, and welcome to The Bits. This is Quinn.
This is Claire.
And this is Paulina.
And welcome to Stanley Cup Final Edition! Bow, 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 bow.
Fireworks. Honest to God.
Could you have imagined after the first two losses against the LA Kings and my attitude that we would be here?
I think if we go back to an episode with all of our attitudes in those early recordings, it's very funny.
There'd be a lot of that didn't age well.
There would be. Yeah. And then, but I think like immediately after round one, things shifted drastically. We're like, wait, we're really fucking good. Like where were these guys all season and in the first two games of the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Yeah. Who's that guy? There's a lot of that.
Who the hell are these people? Who the hell are these guys?
Yeah, love
this
it.
Is the Oilers. For those, I don't know, living under a rock, or maybe you just need a little clarification, the Edmonton Oilers will be taking on the Florida Panthers for the second year in a row for the Stanley Cup. So the Stanley Cup will kick off on Wednesday, June 4th in Edmonton at Rogers Place. All games starting at 6 o'clock. We get to sleep early. Yes. It's just a little scrambly after work, but you know what? I'll take scrambly after work. And the final game, if it goes to game 7, will be completed on the night of summer solstice. So what a night to party for a long time in Edmonton.
Ooh. What day of the week
Friday,
is that?
June 20th.
Wow.
You know, because I mean, there's a lot to consider there too with, you know, time off work and, but those are, you know, one game at a time.
Yeah, we're just going one game at a time. This one takes a little longer because of the travel in between Edmonton and Florida, an 8-hour flight via charter. Ooh. So if you're flying commercial, it's even longer. So in between each travel day, there is an extra day off in between. Now to just kind of summarize a little bit more of what happened. The Edmonton Oilers beat the Dallas Stars in 5 games to win the Western Conference title for the second year in a row. And unlike last year, the Edmonton Oilers touched the Clarence Campbell Trophy. This is a big deal. This is something that a lot of people talk about every year. Will they, won't they touch it? This stems from complete superstition and the idea that the job isn't done. So the Clarence Campbell Trophy, while like a great thing, you get a banner for it as a Western Conference champion. It is not the complete job. So the Oilers did not touch it last year after they beat the Dallas Stars as well, but decided to touch it this year. Connor McDavid saying, I think it's obvious we didn't touch it last year, so this time it was time to do something different. So
that's been
something that a lot of people have been talking about, and fair logic. Listen, I've said it before. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are too good. There's no such thing as a jinx for touching a trophy.
Yeah, I loved seeing it. Honestly, I think it also just, you know, it's not even just they didn't decide to touch it. To me, it's Connor. This was a Connor decision and they were going to take whatever he wanted to do. But I don't know. I feel like a lot of therapy went into that decision. He looked like he knew exactly what he was going to do going into that. And he just seems like cool, calm Connor now.
This is
in
a different Connor.
That edge, that intensity, like he still has that, obviously, the drive. But it's like last year we were talking about the weight of the world on his shoulders. It was almost like he had to win and there was like anger behind it. And that post-game interview after touching the trophy, he was like, you know what? I'm having fun out there. We're having a great time. Like totally different demeanor. It's
finally
awesome.
Finally, Connor is having, it looks like he's having a good time, you know, mm-hmm. Because this is a comparison I think that could have been made last year between Connor and Matthew Tkachuk. You know, we watched that series on Amazon And they're definitely different types of players and leaders. But their whole demeanor was completely different on game day, like final round, game seven. And Connor was just, in hyper focus,
Intense, yeah.
like intensity behind the eyes mode. And Matthew Tkachuk, kind of walks in with some swagger and excitement, and he compared it to Christmas morning. Like he's having fun with it. And I think Connor is finally kind of having some fun with it, right?
Totally. They learned a lot of things last year. That's the thing, right?
And jokes aside though, like I actually think he probably worked on himself a lot to figure some of that out. I don't know if you guys agree, but I mean, just
Connor never stops working on himself.
yeah,
That
but
is
I mean
why Connor is so good at
emotionally.
what he is. Yeah. No, but every asset of the game. Yeah. Facet, not asset.
I just thought that it really looked like he's been trying to like change his approach to this whole thing.
So any of the men listening, if you listen to us, therapy is good. You
Therapy's
know,
good.
like therapy is a good thing.
Yeah.
It gets Stuart Skinner's head right, and look how much better he is. Gets Connor McDavid in the right headspace. I'm just saying, like,
Let's not shy away.
let's not
Well,
shy away. Look up
and
to
like
these guys.
you brought up the Amazon documentary and the intensity of that clip. I was just watching it before we met today. And that, I don't know, the intensity in that room is that, I don't know, for Quinn, that never really got me fired up with when it was like coming from a place of negativity. Like what you want is like a rah-rah rally and get fired up. And I don't know. I just thought that like it was an intense, like you said, even in when he, at home and stuff, it looked like very tight and like walking on eggshells and things like that.
So I will say, I will counter to that. They won three in a row after that. There is a time for rah-rah, and there is a time for get your head out of your ass and get your shit together.
Fair.
And so that's where that came from. And obviously going to be a little bit different, rah-rah.
Yeah, do you know the other thing that I didn't even think of is how much fun it is for the whole team to have time with that Western Conference trophy. So the admin staff, the training staff, because if Connor chooses or the team chooses not to touch it, that means nobody's touching it. Nobody's taking photos with it. And I saw it on social that, you know, you're starting to see the people behind the scenes get an opportunity to take photos with it, which I think also builds a lot of energy and momentum within the administration, the whole depth of the team, which is cool to see.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I loved that he didn't touch it because I read it as fuck superstition. We actually don't need to subscribe to that. Like we're that good this year. We don't
We're, we
need.
are that good. Okay, so I do want to shift the conversation a little bit. Let's talk about some of our special boys who we think will be difference makers come this year for the Edmonton Oilers against, again, the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup final.
Okay, well, I mean, no surprise from my end. I think special boy Stu Skinner was honestly a difference maker in the last round, and I think he will continue to be one on the streak that he's on right now in the next round. I also wanna I don't know when do we know when Connor Brown is coming back?
He should be back, I would guess, for game one.
Okay, so if Connor Brown is back in full force, I think he is going to be a force. I think he's going to come back like hot and ready, and he's going to be a difference maker as well. So those are my special boys. Special boy award for round three, Stu Skinner. Special boy prediction for round four, final round, Connor Brown.
Connor Brown, Downtown Connor Brown Association.
I love that.
I gotta go with Nuge. I think
Yeah,
that
no
the way
kidding.
Nuge played, multiple multi-point games, and they do need Nuge to step up without a Zach Hyman in the lineup. So my special boy is going to be Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and if the Oilers win the cup goes Connor McDavid to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Hand it off right to him.
Love that. Love that. I think we said that last year too.
Yeah, I would say it. He's the longest serving
I mean,
Oiler, so I gotta.
it makes sense. And I would love to see it.
Okay, so I also had Nuge, 18 points. He's been absolutely amazing to watch, and I love just that that's happening for him and he's having such an impact. But my backup plan, I'm going to go Corey Perry,
Oh,
Scorey Perry.
yes.
The man is not young. He has 10 points. He's absolutely an impact in every shift he plays. It's been so fun to watch him, and he's just such a shit disturber. And I can't help but wonder how he feels every morning and just have big respect for what he's putting his body through and what he brings to that ice and that locker room. So I'm loving watching him. He's my special boy for round three. In terms of round four, I'm gonna say Ekholm. I think he's gonna come out of the gates blazing, and I think he's got a big opportunity to be offensive. Against Florida, especially, we need that. And so, yeah, I'm going to say Ekholm for Stanley Cup final.
A difference maker. And I do like, I did want to talk about Zach Hyman a little bit. You know, going back to that Amazon, like the NHL on Prime documentary, he was the first guy in the room to speak up after they lost the Stanley Cup final in game seven. I personally think that after his surgery, he travels with the team and he is with the team all the way through this Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, seeing them FaceTime him from the locker room, like he is such a huge part of that core team. And I agree, Quinn, he'll be there.
Bold prediction, my bold prediction to kick us off, the Oilers win the first two games at home.
I love that.
Oh yeah. Okay. I can get behind that.
My prediction for where how many games this is going to go. As much as I don't really want it to do this, I do think it's going to go to game seven and we win it game seven.
At
I
home.
think the at home, exactly. And I think it's the at home part that I keep thinking about and how different that will be this year compared to them doing game seven in Florida last year. And I just these two teams are so evenly matched. Like Florida is really good and Edmonton is really good. And even Tkachuk said, you know, recently, he's like, it's pretty clear these are the two best teams in the NHL facing off in the final. And I just think that I just think it goes to seven again. And that's what, you know, that's what everyone who's not stressed and like really bought in kind of wants to see. Like that's what the general audience wants to see anyway. But I think like that game seven win at home, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I'd say my big bold prediction, I like your approach, Quinn, with two games in what that looks like. I'm going to say Skinner holds them to no more than five goals, first two games.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so while we're talking about all this, I want to kind of segue into what is different from last year. So a few things that come to mind right away, the depth that we have. We have depth in scoring. We have depth in experience. We have no rookies on the ice this year. We have eight players with five goals or more, which is incredible. We have nine players that have at least four goals. And yeah, I think just having Ekholm come back healthy is going to have a huge impact. So we've got, fresh legs on the ice too coming into this series. And also I think, we've got Klingberg and Wallman playing, which is a welcome defense addition. So yeah, I just wanted to kind of talk to you ladies about what you think some of the difference makers are this year compared to last year.
Well, I found it very interesting after that Dallas series. Pete DeBoer, I mean, of course, his team just got beat, but he said it himself that this Oilers team is a lot better than it was last year. The depth, but also the thing for me that really stood out that what he said was they defend hard all the way through the lineup.
Yeah,
And
you
you
see it.
absolutely need that against the Florida Panthers. So that for me is a big thing. Home ice advantage, I think we can all agree that is an absolute game changer. The Oilers have lost two games in the playoffs at home. That's it.
Yeah, so I want to talk about that for our listeners. So both teams finished third in their division, But Edmonton Oilers get the home ice advantage because we finished with more points than the Florida Panthers. So even though we both finished in third, we get that home ice advantage, which we have not had so far in the playoffs this season. So super excited to see that.
Yeah, it's pretty rare to finish third in your division and then end up with home ice advantage in the Stanley Cup final.
That's why it's been so crazy to see these guys show up and just be like, what? I don't recognize this team.
And I think they're going to be pumped for that too, especially to be able to have this nice break of what, just over a week. They don't have to travel to play their first couple of games. Like,
It's
that's it.
helpful.
So helpful. And yeah, I mean, the city is absolutely electric. They've been talking about it. But Quinn, you're saying so defensive, and that's definitely a huge change. They are not relying as heavily on Draisaitl, despite his absolute insane stats in postseason. He's not going as offensively as he has in the past. They don't have to lean on him as hard. And so he's back checking so hard. He's saying, like, I'm not going for the goals in the way that I was before because I have to get back. And I think when you see your, one of the best players in the world doing that, the whole rest of the team sees that and does the same. So that's a huge factor as well.
And then another factor for me that I wanted to talk about was like almost like the o emotional calm of the Oilers. Last year, winning, getting as far as they did, just there was. There's just not that experience there, right? Like they've realized. And then on top of it, they lost the first three games and then won the next three. And there was no emotional energy left whatsoever. Whereas now it is just very clear that like the job is not done, but they're having fun doing that. And they know what they're up against now. They know exactly how this is going to go. They know exactly all the like media day that happens. So there's the emotional level as well. Again, therapy is a big factor, I think, because there's no expelling of extra energy.
Well, and
Yeah,
we
it's a good
mentioned that
call.
last year with like as an advantage for Florida, because it was their second time going to the final and how they've had that experience. They don't have the same type of emotional roller coaster as they did the first year going as well. And I think the Oilers are now in that sophomore experience round. And they're a lot more calm going into it, which I think really ultimately helped Florida. And I think it'll ultimately help the Oilers this year. Because yeah, Florida's now going into their third. But I
Straight, yeah.
mean, but I still think
You gotta be tired.
at the when the Oilers are playing at their best, they are better than Florida. I really do believe that.
Well, they're steady Eddies right now, one period at a time, even in their media interviews. They're not, like you said, no high highs, no low lows, just like cutting right through the middle. I can't help but think of the Leafs and that pressure conversation that we were talking about, and how you just keep hearing from the Oilers team the support that they have in Edmonton, and that makes me really proud too. And I'm sure that's a factor because the fans really do play a role here, even in not just being loud, but being supportive. And I think you're seeing that.
Yeah. So depth, I think huge, and experience, huge. I think those are the key difference makers.
Well, and I mean, you're looking at goaltending too. We've got Skinner, who's got three shutouts in the postseason. The only other goalie that has that is Bobrovsky. I mean, granted, two-time Vezina winning goaltender, but Skinner's getting good at the right time, and he's getting better at shutting down high danger shots, and we're getting better at scoring on those opportunities. So it's really exciting. I think we've got a few things going on in our favor compared to last year.
And I'm just going to add one more thing that just kind of popped to mind. Evander Kane. Evander Kane is also playing in the Stanley Cup final this year, unlike last year. He ended up being maybe a bit of a distraction. We did hear some rumors about how he was handling being with the team and whatnot. But the way he has been playing, he's a tough guy. He can score. He loves to bring a solid at like he loves to bring a good grindy attitude, which they need to match that with Matthew Tkachuk because that's the kind of person that he is.
Yeah,
So
he's a big moment guy, though. too. Like
Yes.
he shows up for the big moments, and he like you can tell he's got a little crazy in his eyes. Like
I'll
I
say.
love that for all of us. And you make a good point with Kachuk, and I wonder with Marchand, like we really need that. We need
Oh,
someone to get in the
absolutely.
mix and get in their face. And between Kane and Perry, we're in good shape there for
It's
sure.
the worm versus the rat. The worm of
Well,
Corey Perry and the rat that is Brad Marchand. And I'm picking the worm. If something has to be on me, I want a worm.
oh
I'd prefer a
God. Oh
worm.
God.
Yuck.
Gross. I don't know. Gross. So, I mean, I can't stand Kane, but I guess if we're gonna have a dirt bag to match a dirt bag, I mean, I guess go do your dirt bag thing. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, at least he's playing well. Like, I can't stand him, especially when he's bringing nothing positive to our team or our
Well,
locker room.
yeah. When he's just dead weight,
Hey.
that's the worst part. But we were talking about goalie, like Stu, for a second there. I do want to know your guys' thoughts on the Dallas coach and his comments on Ottinger. First of all, pulling Ottinger, and then also his comments about Ottinger after, kind of being like,
I,
I don't want to put this all on him,
but
but then
yeah.
goes to then proceeds to put it all on him. I didn't really respect that move. So I'm curious what you guys think.
I think he was dead on accurate.
I think
That's the thing.
he
That's the
sewered him.
difference
I think he
is
sewered him.
I think that, I mean, Ottinger let in two goals on two shots in an elimination game. Why would you leave him in when he had a great goals against the entire playoffs until it came to the Edmonton Oilers?
But
Like,
you lose as a team. You don't put it all on your goalie in the after,
but if
in the
your goalie can't make
post-interview.
a save, like straight up, I think, like, you know, like I would expect the Oilers to pull Stuart Skinner if that was
Yeah,
the case right
I
then.
guess. Okay, I can understand your stance on pulling him, but I can't really get behind the
Dragging
comments
him.
after. I know Knobloch would never put the entire loss of a series on Stuart Skinner or Pickard.
Nope.
I
No,
don't
he
think he
wouldn't.
put the entire loss on them. It kind of felt like he was.
He wasn't happy, and he was correct that the goals against was too high and they needed to try something different.
Sure, but I mean, this is your franchise goalie. Like, I just think dragging your goalie like that, pulling him that quickly, honestly, like, call a fucking timeout and have a chat. I just think it's crazy that they pulled him so fast. And then I agree, Paulina. I mean, did it help? No, it didn't. It did
No, it
not
didn't.
send
It
the
didn't.
message that it needed to send.
So they
And
went
then you
probably
have
needed
your,
to happen earlier. That's
but then
why
you've
it
got
needed
your,
to happen earlier in the
that
series.
that
Fair.
I can see and I agree. But
Yeah.
pulling your franchise goalie in that game, an elimination game for you, and then going down with, like, you know, not even going down with your best goalie, you go down with the backup goalie.
Totally.
I don't really get, I don't get the vision.
But I think that's a really good point. And before we close this kind of segment of talking about hockey, Paulina, you said Oilers in seven. I'm going to say Oilers in six. I know you're not going to like it because it's not at home.
Hey,
But I think,
I'd rather a game six win. I mean,
yep,
I
but I
don't
think
want
it's
more
going to be
stress.
Game six. Florida hasn't had to come up against an opponent as good as the Oilers so far. So I'm going to say Oilers in six, not because I don't want them to win at home. I just don't think we can take it in five, and I think it's going to go to six, but I don't think we're going to let it get to seven this year.
I'm just going to go big and bold because I said they think they win the first two games at
You're going
home.
to
So
say
I'm
five?
saying that the Oilers win it in five. I think
Woo!
that Florida wins game three, the Oilers win game four, and then they're not coming back here and having the, like, most insane crowd in the world and not winning it. And also I just feel that way because I think that LA was an incredible team. The Oilers, you know, fought some uphill battles in that. Vegas is incredible and Dallas is supposed to be
They
incredible.
steamrolled
And
Vegas and
they
Dallas.
have
They really did.
steamrolled those teams and won those series in five.
Made
And
it
so
look
I
easy.
just, there's a lot of fives in the Oilers
Well,
this year.
my bold prediction early on was that a team from the West was going to win the Stanley Cup because I just felt like that was the battle. I felt like that was the harder battle.
Well, and
And
we had,
the
okay.
better teams, and the better teams, but.
You're going to love my transition here. So remember how 13 was like a big number for Taylor Swift? And then, of course, was it 13? Is it 13? I'm not a, and then like the Kansas City Chiefs, five is a big number for the Oilers this year. We've talked about players with like, five or more goals. They've won five, at least five Stanley Cups. They've beat teams. And so, yeah, so I'm
I
transitioning
like
to
it.
football now from the five. That was my
Okay, you know what?
transition. And it
I
kind of
like
made
that bit.
sense.
I like that bit because
Well, look
we're
who's
gonna
let's
superstitious.
ride on five.
We're gonna
Look
ride
who's
on five.
superstitious. Oh, I mean, yeah, obviously, we'd love that. Speaking of football,
Yeah, see, that was my
we
transition. Very, very odd.
great job. That I mean, it seemed like a reach at first, but we got there.
Yeah.
The number five. So we got to talk about Aaron Rodgers. So Aaron Rodgers, very well-known quarterback. Was the longtime franchise quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, which Quinn and I's team. I grew up with Aaron Rodgers kind of being like the guy, right? So
To
I
be
was,
honest, I'm so ashamed to say it now, but he was the reason I became a Packers fan because
yeah.
he is such a good quarterback.
An electric player, like one of the most exciting players to watch, right?
The Hail
Not
Marys, the
anymore.
insane accuracy.
The moves
Okay,
that he
this
makes,
is a story of fall from grace. Take it away.
We're not here to pump up Aaron's tires because
Okay,
like it
good.
sounds like he kind of sucks, but Aaron Rodgers, longtime franchise quarterback for Green Bay, and then he ended up moving on to the Jets, got injured on play three of the first game of the season. Second year, he's back. Really a rough year for Aaron. Not a good season for him at all. And also like a lot of those kind of annoying Aaronisms like came out during that time as well. He's known to be a little bit of a diva off field and actually kind of on field. I think we've talked about how we really don't respect the like pouty, whiny, blaming every other player on the team. Like that's not good leadership type of quarterback that he's been. There's been a fall from grace on the field as well. But
Not to mention also, I do want to add just like the weirdness. Like would like was injured and would listen to the sounds of dolphins mating as like a healing ritual. Was
He's
a little
very
bit anti-COVID,
into a little.
anti-masking,
Oh,
very, very,
he's
very.
very
You know,
anti-vax.
He's fallen from grace mentally, physically, all of it.
Yeah, there's
Yes.
yeah, so there's the so there's the on-field stuff, like on-field antics that are like, you roll your eyes at. And then there's the off-field stuff with him being really into like weird new agey, like whatever, like healing.
Nonsensical BS.
Yeah, not into Western medicine, let's put it that way. Probably not a big science believer. But it sounds like he's also a dick to be in a relationship with Danica Patrick, who is a NASCAR driver.
The first female, like an absolute badass race car
Yeah,
driver,
he's
deserves the
had
world.
total Fox.
Okay. She is a badass, for sure. Patrick recently came out saying that her relationship was with Aaron Rodgers is the most pain she's experienced. And went on to talk about how it was a very toxic situation. The nature of the relationship, she was quoted, was emotionally abusive, so it wore her down to nothing. Not good. Especially given, some of the drama that kind of already surrounds this guy. She says that he, this was a quote too, that Aaron Rodgers leaves a trail of blood, where like kind of wherever he goes. And she didn't really go into further detail on that. She said, I don't, she's like, I don't think I'm saying too much, but it's earth-shattering stuff, and there's enough out there. Kind of like people know, but people
She's
like
teasing it.
don't
She's
really
teasing it
know. Like
out.
people
Yeah,
know.
she's trying to be, you know, a good human compared to the shitty human that he is. And let me also say, Aaron Rodgers notoriously no longer speaks to his family, and I think I always blamed the family in the past. I want to be very clear that I am horrified by that.
Yeah.
And to anybody out there listening saying, "Why didn't Danica just leave him? Shut the fuck up right now. I do not want to hear it. You do not want to know what it is
Yeah,
like
yeah,
to be in an
yeah.
emotionally
Yeah.
abusive relationship and made to feel like nothing. So don't even fucking start."
Yeah, no,
Just gonna
it's
start
true.
with that.
No, I totally agree.
Because
It's
we know
not,
that rhetoric is out there.
oh, of course, like, oh, well, just leave, like, stand up for yourself. No, I
Yeah.
mean, he's had long-term relationships, and it doesn't seem, there always seems to be, even if there's not, like, she's kind of the first one to formally come out with like a quote or, you know, saying something more directly about his toxic behaviors. Whereas previously, there's always been sort of inklings and rumors about how he is in a relationship. And
So they split back in 2020, is that right?
oh, sorry. Okay, maybe. Sorry, 2023 wasn't correct. I think he dated.
Blue Ocean or whatever her name
No,
is.
he. What? Who?
That's like his most recent girlfriend, I
Oh
think.
God, her name is Blue Ocean. That actually
Something,
tracks.
I don't know.
That makes sense. No, I think it was like Olivia Munn a while back,
Quite a long
and
time
then
ago, yeah.
Danica Patrick, and then Shailene in
And
terms of
I
the time.
remember being like, because I obviously had a bit of a crush on Aaron Rodgers, despite like his divaness. Like he was just such a good quarterback. It was nowhere at this level. Like we're talking like 2012,
Well, of course,
2011, you
2012.
know?
Didn't he
And
win
I
the
remember being
Super
like,
Bowl for us? Yeah.
God, Danica's not even that good looking. And now I'm
Oh,
just like,
yeah.
I'm sorry, Danica. I'm sorry that you went through that.
At least she
Yes.
got him in his like peak era and not crystals and anti-vax era.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, publicly, I should say. I mean, he wasn't as much like publicly known as being such a D-bag in 2020.
Yeah, he really spiraled after the pandemic. He really spiraled.
Well, he just became more
Publicly,
vocal. He just
yeah.
became more vocal about his really dumb fucking opinions. And he was going on Rogan all the time.
Pat McAfee, which is the grossest.
These red
Ugh.
pill podcasts, right? These red pill podcasters. So there was also rumors like when he was dating Olivia Munn, who I'm not a fan of Olivia Munn for like other reasons that we don't need to get into, but he dated Olivia Munn for a long time, and everyone blamed the strained relationship between him and his family on Olivia Munn at the time. Like she's the reason, she's the cause, because media will do that. It will villainize the woman in the situation.
Of course.
But it sounds like that was obviously not the case, and bullshit. Like they had a lot of problems before that. Okay, but this is how I want to wrap this up, actually.
Okay.
Do we think that it's time for Aaron Rodgers to retire? Like
Well,
enough.
he's about to get signed with Pittsburgh, is he not?
Well, that's a rumor, but it doesn't matter. Do we think he should be retiring? Because A, he's already kind of fallen from grace with this reputation that he has of being a diva, and nobody likes his on-field antics, like blaming your team, all that bitchiness. We hate it. And also he's just not playing very good, but that's everyone else's fault. And then B, there's reports and rumors about how he is a very toxic person in a relationship.
I mean, that's never stopped the NFL, so I wouldn't even say that has a
But
factor,
I
unfortunately.
think it's time for him to like
Hang it
get
up.
the fuck out of the spotlight and like go live in Peru and do ayahuasca, and like
Refind
we
yourself, yeah.
don't really need to like hear from
Or,
him anymore.
so I don't think that this one's on him. I think this one is on the NFL. Do not sign Aaron Rodgers.
I think there are 85% ex-Jets stars playing for the Steelers, and they don't have a go-to quarterback right now. I put my money on them signing him, and that being more than just rumors, but not saying they should, just saying I think that's what's going to happen.
sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
Maybe
also
we'll get
like
to see more than three plays out of them.
I don't care. I don't need to anymore. I don't care. Like I'm done. I'm actually kind of done watching him play.
Okay, well, speaking of retirement, what about Bill Belichick?
Oh, Bill. Oh, Bill.
Yes, who's Bill Belichick?
Okay, so Bill Belichick was best known, or is best known as the former coach of the New England Patriots,
Mr. Tom
particularly,
Brady. That's the only reason he's known. Yeah.
particularly the Tom Brady era, and known also to be just one of the greatest coaches in NFL history. Like he has built that reputation for himself.
So he left the NFL. He went to coach college.
Yeah.
That's where he is now, right?
UNC.
UNC. So
And
he, that's not why he's making headlines these days,
no, he's
though.
making a lot of headlines lately, not for his coaching, but for his relationship with a, okay, keep in mind, Bill is 73,
73. Yeah.
and he's making headlines for his relationship with a 24-year-old Jordan Hudson.
Yeah.
Who is Jordan Hudson, you ask? Honestly, just a chick that kind of came out of nowhere, just to date Bill, and they're making headlines because, well, I mean, for one, that age gap is disgusting, and for two, she has become a bit of a media villain for the way that she's acting in interviews, the controlling nature of the relationship. She is now said to be CC'd as per Bill's request on all personal and professional communications.
Yeah, she's getting in on the business, and he's been trying to land her like six-figure jobs too, openly.
Yes,
Trying to
yes.
get, and it's not working,
And
and he's getting a lot of criticism for it, but he doesn't care.
Well, yeah, and I'm like, what? I'm confused about like where he is at mentally, cognitively, frankly. But there was also the CBS interview
Right.
where she shut down. She was just sitting there watching the interview happen, like she's his manager, which is seems to be like the role almost that she's sort of leaning into or sort of claiming is
Okay,
like
well, her LinkedIn
Bill's manager.
profile,
No.
apparently, I don't know if it still says this, but it was reported that she is the LinkedIn profile said she is the CEO of Belichick Productions, even
Shut
if
the
that
fuck up.
LLC is not actually incorporated anywhere. But that's her LinkedIn profile.
COO, right? COO?
Yes, she
Yeah,
is the
okay.
CEO, so she is the idea mill and creative
No.
muse.
I thought she was trying to like get into like the COO role. Which is
I mean,
not better. I mean, it doesn't
who
matter. But
knows?
CEO,
But they're
CEO.
engaged. They're engaged,
So
and you.
there's a rumor that they're engaged. That she hasn't
Oh, it's
confirmed
not
it.
confirmed.
And you know what? She is loving the like fueling the rumor mill. Like I think she is intentionally not revealing anything. She's rocking around with a rock on like that particular finger, and then people have speculated that she's suddenly like following all these different wedding accounts. But
Interesting.
she is not actively confirming. And I think she kind of likes that she is creating buzz and not actually like giving anyone any clear answers. But just quickly on that CBS interview, which is kind of where a lot of the like uproar came from, like she was sitting there like his manager. He asked a question about how they met, and she said, "We're not answering that." He looked over at her, by the way, and then she said, "We're not answering that." And she was just like watching the, like over this interview like a hawk, like telling Bill which questions to answer and which not, which is a very strange relationship dynamic. And also, why won't you tell, like, why so defensive about how you met?
Oh, because the rumor mill is that she's an escort. That's
I've
how they
heard
met.
that rumor as well. I don't know if that's just like, making it a, like an old rich man and a young hot girl. I feel like also they could have met while he was with his previous partner, who he was with for a long time, and he may have left
his previous partner for, you know, this 24-year-old. And also his previous partner was very like, it was either like his ex-wife or
ex-wife. They were together, I think, for like 16 years.
Yes. Very, very involved in the business as well. Very
well.
Involved.
So did you hear that Celebrity Boxing made a public offer to both Hudson and Jordan Hudson and Holiday, his ex-wife, for a bout where they can throw down to settle their differences?
Oh my God.
That's America for you.
Yeah. My
listen,
bet
lost in all this
Jordan.
Is the power of manipulation of a 24-year-old woman right now. It
and
is.
And a sad, pathetic old man.
With a hot bod.
Insane to watch. And also of note right now, I mean, it seems that she doesn't really want him to stay at UNC. His buyout to get out of his contract at $25 million is only $1 million now, which is very affordable from him as of today.
As
it
of
went
June
from
1st.
A $10 million buyout. Oh, yeah, sorry. As of from a $10 million buyout to a $1 million buyout. So we'll see what strings Jordan decides she wants to pull on if he's going to stay at UNC or buy out for $1 million.
Yeah, because I think that was put in case he wanted to go back to the NFL, not necessarily because of Jordan, but now this is a whole new factor. Also, I should say that all of those things that I just shared in terms of things I've heard are very not fact-checked. That is internet. So I want to just put that asterisk there because I think one of the things about this story is that it's all hearsay because they are so tight-lipped about it. Everything is like sources say this and no named sources. So it's very much a rumor mill about them, which I think is adding to the intrigue for people where it's like, what is really going on there? Because mm-hmm. they're so weird about it and they're making it weird. Anyways, my question to you is, because I know especially your brother, Pauline, is a huge Pats fan. What does this do for his legacy? Like, is this...
These football players, man, they're so stupid. Like these dumbass fucking men who are like, you know, end up being great in football and then they end up being just gross, pervy men or like toxic assholes, like, and end up destroying their legacy. So like, I don't know. Like, am I surprised that some like wrinkly old ass man ended up getting manipulated by like a hot 24-year-old? No, because I think even when you are a very powerful person, you're still pathetic in a way, you know? Like,
I don't
still...
know. Is he getting manipulated? He seems like okay. an active participant.
Well, okay. Is this elder abuse? I don't know. how cognitively aware is he? Because I mean, his family has spoken out that they're concerned. Mm-hmm. Sources, you know, say whatever. Like if I was his daughter, who is probably 20 years older than Jordan, I would be very concerned. But yeah. I'd either be concerned that he is not of his right mind, because he's getting up there. And this is elder abuse. Or I'd be like, I want nothing to do with this man because he is gross. I don't know.
And I got to just throw the devil's advocate in there. And not that I want, like, because it's not, you know, if you hit somebody, hit them back harder. We talk about toxicity in sports all the time. You know, we're watching a national sexual assault trial happen. We talk about how the NFL has horrible people, abusive men. And now there is a woman who has taken control of one of the football situations. I don't know. I'm just putting that out there as a devil advocate as we continue to talk about men needing therapy, Aaron Rodgers sucking, you know, hockey players being toxic.
So you're saying you're kind of saying like, hey, girl, get that bag. I mean,
maybe
whatever.
Like she's thriving. I think she's thriving with this media attention. She's taking it. She's taking it and running with it.
If he's willing to hand over the keys that willingly, I mean.
One might say they're both getting something out of it.
I think there is a potential third theory or a fourth. I don't know where we're at with theories, but there is a potential theory that maybe Bill is really into like a dominant, submissive type relationship with women.
after having like such control over the New England Patriots and winning six Super Bowls, and now it's time for him to lay back and be the puppet.
He's a very intense guy. He's a very intense, controlling guy in his career, very powerful. And then he seems to be a lot more submissive with the women in his relationships. Like, you know, he really likes to have the woman like kind of take ownership of a lot of the business. It's not just, not new with Jordan. So I don't know. I don't know. It could be like this is sort of what he's into.
Well, to be continued.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll keep you posted on this potential engagement.
We will keep close eyes on her LinkedIn profile.
I just find that so funny. I just find that so funny. Like, this is...
I never saw it. I don't know if that's
good,
true.
Girl, good for you, girl. Like, high school education in, like, cosmetology. And then CEO of Bill Belichick Industries or whatever it is.
So, it's all weird. It's all very strange. But I kind of... Yeah, it's kind of interesting nonetheless. I'm glad we were talking about it. We'll definitely be talking about it more, I'm sure. But I want to wrap things up today. And on a more maybe positive note from these football dudes. We've got a big game one coming up on Wednesday, June 4th, 6 o'clock in Edmonton. Where will you ladies be watching?
At home.
Yeah, I'm going to dust off my palm tree Oilers overalls. If it's warm enough, they are a Stanley Cup final only piece. I'm going to dust those boys off. And I think I'm going to do a little neighborhood watch party.
That's a good idea. I obviously am watching more at home this year than I was previously.
Yes.
But I do also want to shout out Pal Sandwiches, because they have such an excellent, if you don't want to necessarily be right downtown in it, and there is a time and a place for that, I get it. But sometimes you don't want to be right downtown in it, especially me. I'm tired a lot quicker than usual. Pals has an outside patio with a TV. They've got like comfy, like recliner chairs, like set up in front of the TV, and then like a bunch of tables.
Some fun games.
Like nice string lights. Situation, and like part of the patio is covered. It's just a really nice place to watch.
We love Pals, and I love to see every single business in the city getting into it. I was driving my son, getting money
out of this.
Yes. But this is funny. I was driving my son to baseball in the edge of the earth, to the edge of the earth in some suburb that I didn't know existed. And there was, you know, those like rentable temporary billboards on the side of the road that with the legs. And it was like, go Oilers, go. Celebrate the Oilers with a spa day. I was like,
oh my God, what? Yeah. And
the registry, even the registry had one. It was like, go Oilers, go. And it had McDavid on your license plate. I'm like, I love it.
Time to renew your license.
Yeah.
Go Oilers, go. You know, like any marketing that you can tie into.
I love a go Oilers, go. But to be able to tie it into some completely random business is awesome and hilarious.
That's very Edmonton. It's very,
very Edmonton. It's the most Edmonton thing you can do. Okay. So ladies, enjoy game one. And everybody keep an eye on our socials. We're going to be posting some fun polls. Follow at the Bits. Yeg. Listen, tell your friends. See you on another time.
See you on another time.